This is Jerry Pepin. Welcome to another hour of the UFO Files, and we're broadcasting from Harrah's Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. And, of course, the big Ancient Mysteries Conference is going on. And one of the great things about doing a show like this is that we find favorite people, and we kind of keep track of them and their career. And the last time we found Ron Davis, who has a book out called River of Fear. He was passing through Tulsa, Oklahoma, my old stomping grounds, and we cornered him at a Flying J truck stop. Rod, this is beginning to become a habit.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun, Jerry.
Yeah. From our last time we talked, you made it to Maine. You did your book signings in Connecticut.
And worked our way back west, and now we're in the great city of Laughlin, Nevada.
And, of course, you made some stops along the way, and I want to talk to you a little bit about some of those. You found a fellow in Missouri, near Springfield, that has some pretty interesting pictures, right?
He's had some very interesting pictures. They are pictures of a phenomenon that, as some people that have witnessed it, looked at it and told it was ball lightning. But once they looked at it closer, and there was other experts that got involved, they found out that this was not ball lightning, that it was, he had actually captured on film, and to be more specific, on slide film, these pictures. And what's significant about that fact is that they cannot be altered. And experts have looked at this and said that he definitely caught UFO.
And he caught these in Missouri?
No, this was actually in Illinois, and it happened more than, it's been over 20 years since he'd taken these pictures, and now he's willing to bring them public.
You know, that seems to be more or less fairly common. For one reason or another, people don't come forward right away.
That's correct, and the reason that the people don't come forward right away is that they're afraid of being labeled, number one, as a nut, or number two, they're afraid that the government may come in and get into their private lives.
Now, you had a chance to look at these pictures, right?
I looked at them very carefully, yes.
And what's your prognostication?
I'm amazed at what I saw, and the seeing is the believing in these pictures.
And so these are, instead of ball lightning, I assume they are saucer-type craft?
There was actually two different craft. One was shaped like a saucer, one was shaped like a triangle, and both of them were leaving a different trail. When he snapped each picture, he didn't know what speed the camera was on, but when he snapped each picture, you could see the length of a trail behind one craft and the length of a trail behind the other, and it looked like they were dueling, aerial combat. And there has been estimates that because of this, taking various shutter speeds of the camera, estimates that these craft were doing anywhere from 23,000 miles an hour up to 27,500 miles per hour, based on what was caught in that one slide.
Did the person tell you whether or not he thought they were actually in combat or just doing maneuvers, or could he tell?
He thought that they were actually in combat based on what he saw, and there was so much that he was able to see, but he wasn't able to get on film. And there was many more of these craft than just the two that he got on film. In the distance, you could see many other crafts that came up as specks, if you will.
What part of Illinois was he in? I mean, on our UFO file sightings report each week, we give quite a few sightings in Illinois, even today.
The town begins with a P.
Peoria, maybe.
No, it's not Peoria. It's like Peaky, or...
Probably downstate or in the middle of the state.
In the middle of the state in a fairly rural area, yes. He happened to be... out in the front of the yard doing some work on a particular object, whatever it was, and he went back into his backyard to get tools to help him with what he was doing. And when he got back there, he saw a cloud forming in the middle of a clear sky. It got larger and larger and darker and darker. And he took and ran into the house and got his camera. And as he was snapping these pictures, the cloud, something burst out of this particular cloud, and laying on his back, it looked like the face of a human being. And I discussed these pictures with Wes Bateman, whom I've mentioned his name before.
In fact, I was going to get around to ask you about Wes. I think you stopped and saw him on the way home, too.
Yes, I did, and I showed him these pictures.
And what did he have to say? First of all, we need to tell our audience a little bit about Wes Bateman. We discussed him a little bit last broadcast, and in, I think, your August newsletter, maybe, or September, one of those.
September newsletter, yes.
You had some things about him as well.
That's correct. And he's also going to be in the October newsletter, which he wrote a two-part story. Wes is a person that has contributed a lot of information to Gene Roddenberry for the Star Trek movies and also to George Lucas for the Star Wars movies.
So what was Wes's opinion about this?
Wes drew an analogy of a photos that he saw that were taken some years later, and of those photos, the cloud formation looked like an Indian laying on its back with full headdress, and the same type of a scenario where there was aircraft doing combat. He said that this was almost the exact type of a phenomenon. It's just that the face, it was different than what had been photoed before.
And over the years, there have been pictures of cloud formations forming different people, everybody from Jesus Christ to whomever.
Yes, there has. I have not witnessed or talked to anybody about those. The only ones I'm familiar with are just the two that I mentioned.
Wes, what's new in his life? You stopped and saw him in Arizona.
Yeah, he's working at this point in time, actually for several years now, on the 9 messages that SETI received some years back. And he's been deciphering what these messages contained.
And now we're talking about the radio telescope, SETI and the operation, and they picked up what they... a lot of people think are messages.
That's correct. And he's determined... from the tones, he's found new formulas that weren't known to science before. He is a person that you really should interview and get the details from him specifically on what he was able to get.
I'd love to have a recording of some of those tones, too.
Absolutely. I don't know if he does, but he might.
You never know. Anyway, we definitely will be talking to him one of these days. You traveled the country, ran across quite a few people, and interesting stories. Now, I haven't really had time to visit with you all that much about the trip to New England. Anything happening in the setting of the River of Fear? Any new stuff coming up there in the mountains of Maine?
Well, there's a lot of new things that are happening in the mountains of Maine, but the setting for the second book in River of Fear has already been drawn. I did meet a person in Ellsworth, Maine, that gave me a description of a craft that he saw 50 feet above the road, which remained there for a very long time. And it was a cigar-shaped craft that had windows all along the side of it. And he described everything in minute detail and said that after about a half hour or 45 minutes, he wasn't sure how long, this craft just kind of lifted up and disappeared, all without sound. And he kept looking into the windows to see if he could see anything, and he couldn't. Well, the funny thing is that that fellow that I met in, near Springfield, Missouri, that captured these pictures, I told him about that craft hovering about 50 feet above the ground, but I didn't say what shape it was. And he says, was it cigar-shaped and did it have windows? And I said, yeah, why? He says, because I've seen that same thing above a cornfield, 50 feet above a cornfield, and it stayed there for a couple of hours while I watched it before it took off. And again, it took off without a sound at amazing speed.
And he's in, when he saw this, he was in rural Illinois, probably. What did he say?
He didn't say, but I kind of think that this was in rural Illinois because of the cornfields.
And, of course, the setting in Maine is in a rural setting as well.
Absolutely, a very rural setting in the middle of nowhere in Maine.
Come right back. We're going to be talking with Rod Davis, and we got to discuss his book a little bit, and we'll find out what other people he's run across He's fast becoming one of our paranormal and UFO researchers who really comes up with some interesting stories. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files. Rod Davis will be right back in a moment. First of all, I'd like to take an opportunity to talk to you out in the radio audience about a product that's really phenomenal. It's called Oleo Mentha. And it's actually an all-natural, I don't know what else to say other than just a cure-all. If you've got back pain or maybe neck pain, a muscular ache, even a migraine headache, people have been using Oleo Mentha, and it really works. It's only $19.95, and in a minute, I'm going to give you a telephone number to call to order it. You can put it on your Visa or your MasterCard. And tell them you heard it on the Jerry Pippin Show, and they'll give you a special deal on shipping. Now, Oleo Mentha was developed by Dr. Wolfgang Schmidt. And Dr. Schmidt, of course, is up in British Columbia. And he found this all-natural additive from a special plant that's a top secret. He won't even tell me about it. But I know from experience, I've been advertising this for 6 years at least. And I have a whole stack full of people who just really swear by it. Call and find out about Oleo Mentha now. It comes in a little bottle, and it really works very well. Here's the number, 1-800-909-7284. 1-800-909-7284. Get rid of those pains and aches now. Well, we're at Laughlin, Nevada with the Ancient Mysteries Conference, and Rod Davis is here, and he has a book called The River of Fear, and he's been signing the book. You got an interesting review on the back cover, I noticed.
Yes, thank you very much for that review, Jerry.
It's an interesting fast read. I'd recommend it to anyone, and we have a way for you to order it there on our website at jerrypippin.com for the people who are listening on the radio. Just go over there to the website and click it on, jerrypippin.com. Go to the UFO section, and you'll see a picture of Rod. Now, your newsletter, you have, it's an adventure that you've been doing, what, for about a year now?
No, actually, the newsletter started in August.
So this is a new adventure.
Exactly. And the reason I started is because I was coming across so many people that had unexplainable experiences. And I thought that it would be good to share these experiences with as many people as possible.
Well, why don't you give people who haven't seen your newsletter, and we do have a link to it on our website, but for people who haven't seen it, Rod, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have. I know you cover UFOs.
Yes, we cover UFOs and many, many paranormal experiences. I contribute an article each month on something that has happened to either me or my wife and me both. And then other writers or authors contribute an article on a monthly basis on experiences that they've actually had that are unexplainable. And in fact, the September newsletter had so many contributions for the September newsletter we couldn't fit it all in, and there's four more pages on the internet.
Interesting. The thing that I find interesting about your newsletter and our relationship is right off the bat, we had to ask you to write an article for us because you had a missing time experience yourself.
Yes, I did, and I'm still trying to find out exactly how that happened and why, but I lost 50 minutes of time during the month of April. I was driving down a road in Las Vegas, and I felt something funny pass through my body, and all of a sudden found myself in a different location than what I last remembered.
All you remember is this tingle or whatever it was.
Yes, and I don't have any clue as to what happened in between time.
You haven't had any dreams or no scars or nothing?
Nothing. People have said I should go get an x-ray, but I'm not sure if that's because they want to know if there's anything between my ears or not.
Well, interestingly enough, on our UFO Files report, we've been following a couple of women up in British Columbia who, if you remember 2 weeks ago, they had five sets of eyes and gray bodies coming toward them, and their car wouldn't start. And the next thing they knew, they had 25 minutes of missing time. And then this previous week, remember, we talked to the investigator who who investigated it, and one of them has what the doctor called radiation burns, and the other one has a mark on her breast and on her foot. And they have not been having comfortable nights, so you're pretty lucky from that standpoint.
I am very lucky. The only thing that happened to me is that at one point in time, I had, after that blast of 50 minutes, I had another experience, which is not a loss of time, but I saw a oleander bed of flowers in the lawn in the backyard that was in a circular pattern. And what was amazing is the fact that we never get oleander flowers in our backyard, even in any kind of windstorm, that they always end up in a landscape. And right after that happened, any time I talked about any of the research that I'm doing or am I missing time, I had a metallic taste in my mouth for about 4 or 5 days after that. And then the metallic taste went away.
I don't have an explanation for that either.
No, I sure don't. And I've told a lot of people about it, and I've had a lot of different theories. Wes has come up with the only one that settles okay in my mind, and he seems to think that I was pulled aside and fed some information that I'm going to use at some point in the future.
So instead of a crop circle, you had a flower circle.
That's correct. Although we have something that represents a crop circle and across the street from us in the back.
Only in Las Vegas, Nevada, where you now live, could something like that happen?
I'm not quite sure it's only Las Vegas. I think it's happening in a lot of other places also, based on what I've learned from people I've talked with.
You did a lot of driving cross country. You yourself, you didn't see anything in the sky that was strange, huh?
Not this trip, no. I have, though, in the past. I think many people see it, but sometimes they rationalize it away as being, you know, a weather balloon.
Yeah, well, you're driving along there, you don't pay a lot of attention, at least I don't, and that's probably an explanation. A lot of things could be up here, and you just don't notice.
Absolutely, and if you're driving lots of miles in one particular day, during that time, fatigue can set in, and you're lucky if you're seeing a lot of things.
Well, you seem pretty rested today. Now you're finally going to make it home after this weekend, huh?
Yes, looking very much forward to that at this point. Well, I'd like to mention one thing, Jerry. The people that have been purchasing River of Fear, because it's a blending of some true-to-life stories, I've asked them at the book signings, I give them my business card, which has my website on it for River of Fear, and I've asked them if they would send me an email after they read the book to tell me which scenes in the book they thought were the factual true-to-life scenes. And it's interesting, the emails that I've gotten back, 90% of the time they don't hit the right mark. And I let them know that, and then I ask them why they sent me that particular scene as the scene they thought was factual. And the answer comes back because they had something that's happened to them that was similar to what was in that scene.
So their experience actually reflected what you fictionalized.
Exactly. And what happened as I was writing the book and creating the mystery and intrigue around the things that have actually happened to my wife and myself, things were just coming into my mind, and I was writing them that I had no clue about, and I didn't know where they came from. But people have told me that maybe these are things that have been fed to me before and just waiting to come out. I don't know.
It is a mystery that none of us really have the answer to completely. You, as a writer of fiction, and as you say, you have this trilogy going, and the second book will be coming out, I guess, by early spring?
Yes, it'll be out March or April of next year.
And then the following book about a year later at the most.
That's correct, yes.
You know, once you start writing these things, what I'm getting around to is, have you drawn any conclusions about the supernatural? I know you even had a haunted house at one time.
The conclusion that I have about supernatural is I 100% believe in it because I've experienced it. People that have not experienced it, they find it very, very difficult to accept. And I can understand that.
Now, you know, the UFO part may or may not be part of the supernatural. I have an opinion that it's probably extraterrestrial in nature, but I don't know. What do you think?
I believe it's extraterrestrial. The first extraterrestrial experience that my wife and I had was in 1960, and I know that was extraterrestrial. And that happens to be one of the scenes in the first book.
And people don't say it's the real one.
They miss that one almost all the time.
And we have about 30 seconds here. What, did you just see something, or did you weren't abducted or anything?
If we were abducted, we'd have no way to account for it. Nothing like I was able to account for my missing time back in April. But it could be. There's many other occasions where we could have been abducted.
We're here at Harris. Thanks very much, Rod Davis. And the book is called River of Fear. We're going to talk to another man who has an internet radio show next. And I think you'll find he has some pictures too, Rod, that are very interesting that we're displaying on the website this week.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Is that the one in New York?
No, this happens to be in Denning, New Mexico. You drove pretty close to there.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've been out of communication with the internet now for the better part of 2 weeks, so I'll catch up on that, Jerry.
Yeah, in fact, we do have an episode about the New York. This hundreds of people actually saw this thing in Brooklyn, and we're really investigating that. In fact, Mary Sutherland and... of course, our UFO editor, Larry Dickin, did a special about it last night.
And that's the one I was talking about. Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll look forward to getting all the details on that.
It's posted on our website 24/7. Take a look at it anytime you wish, folks, on the UFO Files at jerrypippin.com.